America was founded on the principle that God has endowed us with our rights, and the first of these, of course, is the right to life. But abortion, which has been around at least in earnest since the last half century, has significantly undermined the right to life. Recently, abortion pills have superseded the amount of surgical abortions. We know that abortions of any kind are fatal to the babies, but what about women? Are these chemical abortions safe for women? There are some safeguards that used to be in place for chemical abortions, but in the last few years, these safeguards have been removed, in part because of COVID. The Supreme Court recently heard arguments from medical personnel who argued that those safeguards should be reinstated. The other side says, oh, that's bad for women's health. Dr. Ingrid Skop is a practicing OBGYN. She is the vice president and director of medical affairs at an abortion opponent's research site. It's called the Charlotte Lozier Institute. I'm Jerry Newcomb. This is Vocal Point. And Dr. Skop, it's always a pleasure to have you on the program.
Thanks, Jerry. It's great to be with you.
Sure. And how exactly would you define your group that you're with, the Charlotte Lozier Institute? You guys do cutting-edge research for the pro-life cause, right?
Yeah, we are an independent think tank that concentrates on science and statistics on life issues. So we have done, as you mentioned, quite a bit of work on abortion drugs. But additionally, you can find almost any topic related to abortion, fact sheets, deep dives, and often peer-reviewed research.
Okay. Since you and I have talked, the Supreme Court, as I said, they met recently and they put on the table this whole issue of chemical abortions. They thought enough of it as an issue that it should be considered. And it's my understanding, by the way, that now chemical abortions comprise about 63% of the abortions in America. So go ahead and set the table for us. What are the issues at stake?
Sure. So quickly, some background. The abortion drug regimen approved by the FDA is two drugs. Mifepristone blocks progesterone receptors and kills the embryo or the fetus, and it's followed about 24 hours later by misoprostol that induces contractions. It's a terrible experience. These women bleed sometimes for several weeks. They have labor-like pain. They'll often see their aborted child, and yet it's being promoted to them because it makes the abortion industry's job easier, particularly in the wake of Roe v. Wade. We've seen they're using it to circumvent state laws. This particular lawsuit that went before the Supreme Court points out that at the very beginning in the year 2000, the FDA broke its own rules using accelerated approval regulations that are intended for drugs that treat life-threatening illnesses. Over time, they've removed critical safeguards in 2016 and then again in 2021. As you mentioned, using the COVID pandemic as an excuse, they removed all in-person supervision. So these drugs can now be ordered either by telemedicine or online without anyone ever looking a woman in the eye. No pre-abortion testing is done, no ultrasound, no labs, no informed consent. And again, we don't even know who's ordering these drugs. And so this lawsuit is about keeping the FDA accountable. Their job is to protect the American public from dangerous drugs. And if the Supreme Court rules in our favor, this will bring the regulations surrounding these abortion drugs back to their initial conditions of approval, which were common sense things like having a doctor prescribe it, having mandatory complication reporting, using them at earlier gestational ages where they're much less likely to fail. And yet, even at the earliest gestational age, 7 weeks that they were initially approved at, 6% of these women will require surgery, often in emergent circumstances because these drugs don't always work.
Who was it that actually brought this lawsuit, you know, saying we don't want chemical abortions to be, you know, without these safeguards?
Right. The lawsuit was initiated by the Alliance for Hippocratic Medicine, which is pro-life doctors who are being called to the emergency room to care for these injured women. I practice in Texas. As you know, Texas has very strict safeguards protecting unborn human life. And yet I am caring for more injured women from abortion drugs than prior to the reversal of Roe v. Wade, because they're being sent in from out of state. And of course, when that happens, the woman has no doctor to go back to when she has a complication. They're coming to the emergency rooms and they're being carried by the majority of obstetricians. Approximately 90% of us do not perform elective abortion, and yet we're the ones called to care for these women. So those are who initiated the lawsuit.
Does this situation of chemical abortions, you know, being the dominant form of this procedure, does it in effect create almost a wild, wild west type scenario, you know, where pandemonium reigns when it comes to abortion?
Absolutely, it is like the Wild West. As you mentioned, 630,000 abortions were performed with these drugs last year, according to the Guttmacher Institute. And let me tell you what it looks like when there's no supervision. A woman has to estimate her gestational age. She may be wrong. If she's already in the second trimester, her likelihood of needing surgery is 4 out of 10 women. No one is ruling out a potentially deadly ectopic pregnancy. And increasingly, we're seeing reports of women who've had ruptured ectopics while seeking abortion because they did not have an ultrasound first. Again, labs aren't being done, and there's many critical reasons to want to do these pre-abortion tests. But most, well, equally concerning, I would say, is the fact that we don't know who's getting these drugs. Sex traffickers, incestuous abusers, coercive men, all have ready access to these drugs. And so we know that there is an epidemic of unwanted abortions, coerced abortions occurring in our country. So again, even if you think that abortion should be an option, surely you don't want a woman to have an abortion if she doesn't want an abortion. And yet that is exactly what is going on in our country because of the FDA's actions.
Justice Sam Alito, when he was doing some of the questioning in the actual trial last month, he asked, at one point, he asked one of those who was in favor of the abortion pills and so forth, along the lines of, well, how are you all hurt? And if I understood her correctly, it was along the lines of, well, our profits are being hurt, Your Honor. I mean, she didn't come out and say it that way, but that was kind of the gist of the question and answer as I understood it.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, he is an amazingly talented justice, and he did get the attorney representing Danco, the manufacturer of mifepristone, to admit just that they don't want restrictions because they make more money the more abortions they sell, demonstrating conclusively that the goal is the death of the unborn child. And if the women are injured, they are collateral damage. Danco's only product is mifepristone. They are a company that was created exclusively to provide life-ending drugs to women.
What's so scary about this, though, is I don't think it is widely known in the culture that there are physiological problems for the women who take these chemical abortions, and now it's becoming so common, but we don't hear about it. It's not, whatever the complications are, they're not attributed to the abortions.
Right. So again, you know, the American public have been gaslighted for years, over 50 years, and it continues. And these poor women, they're told that these drugs are safer than Tylenol, when in fact, 15% of women will have a clinically recognized hemorrhage. 2% will have an infection, and there's a very serious infection associated with these drugs, so much that can cause a woman to die. So that the FDA has a black box warning on mifepristone. Of course, they don't have a black box warning on Tylenol. But again, it just goes to show that people don't understand the truth, because only programs like yours are willing to even talk about this issue. These drugs have 4 times as many complications as a surgical abortion, and yet women are led to believe that this is a safer option.
And a part of the whole, when these chemical abortions were accepted, part of the deal was, well, they would put these safeguards in place, such as you can't just get these pills out of nowhere. You've got to actually go and have an appointment with the doctor and so forth. And then they would find out how long you are in the pregnancy. So now, basically, what are we going to do? Wait until a few women die because of this, and then it becomes well known? I mean, it just seems like it's a disaster, but because it's not publicized, you know.
Well, women have died. Over 30 deaths have been reported to the FDA. And that's likely an underestimate because, of course, that does not include mental health deaths. And we know that a woman is six times as likely to commit suicide in the year following an abortion than if she had carried her child to term. But what happens in the United States, again, there's almost nothing about abortion reporting that is mandatory. The FDA removed the requirement for mandatory complication reporting in 2016, and then in 2021, they pointed to the lack of complications reported as evidence that their product was safe. So again, we can see how this is just sort of a circular reasoning problem. But anybody could look at the way that they are currently being given to women. These are totally medically unsupervised. These are self-managed abortions. It used to be that those were bad things, the abortion industry told us, and now they've totally shifted their narrative. These are good things. To let a woman manage her abortion all alone, manage her complications all alone, except that thank God we have doctors like myself and the other AHM physicians who are manning the emergency rooms who can care for this woman. But other than that, they're just being left to pursue this action on their own. And as long as the unborn child dies, the abortion industry thinks they've been successful in their quest.
Wow, that's terrible. Okay, we have about 2.5 minutes left. What do you think when you hear the phrase that abortion is health care for women?
Well, you know, we've just been surrounded by euphemisms for so long. But I'll tell you definitively, I can disprove that in just a few seconds. More than 90% of obstetricians do not provide elective abortion. So if it was necessary health care, wouldn't women's health care professionals be doing it? And the fact that we don't means that we know that it's almost never necessary to do an abortion, even to save a woman's life. I've delivered 5,000 babies. I've never had to directly kill my unborn patient in order to save his mother. Now, there have been times I've needed to deliver a woman prematurely to separate her from her baby because of a complication. And rarely that's happened when the child was too young or too sick to survive. But that was not an abortion. That was an action to protect the mother. An abortion has the intent of ending the unborn child's life. So again, we've been so misled. And we see this fear-mongering in every single state right now that's trying to protect unborn life, this narrative that doctors can't provide quality care, that maternal mortality is going to go up. These things are all lies. And for anyone who's interested, LozierInstitute.org, our website, has a number of papers addressing these type of fear-mongering campaigns.
Okay, don't mention any particular candidates, but your thoughts on abortion and the elections.
Well, I think that the American public need to understand the basic science. They need to understand that abortion has the intent of killing a human being. So I think if we can start from there, then we can, and then we can have the conversation about how often it injures women, then I think we can have a real conversation in our country. But unfortunately, our politics is so dysfunctional that it's all surrounded in euphemisms. This whole narrative of reproductive freedom, the latest of the euphemisms. I mean, what an oxymoron. There's no reproduction involved when you end the reproductive process. And freedom, these women are not free to choose to give life to their child. Abortion advocates want one outcome only. They want that child's life to end. Politically, we need to get away from what the party that we may is talking about and really investigate this issue on its own merits.
All right.
I hope that we begin to do that soon.
Thank you so much, Dr. Ingrid Skop, LozierInstitute.org. All the best.